Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Sarah, it's Gary Brumberg on 101.9 High FM. A very good afternoon to you.
Hi, Gary. Good afternoon to you too.
And thank you for making time for us this afternoon. We do appreciate it. Sarah, what's going wrong with our SOEs? Why are they all failing? What's actually happening? Can you shed some light, excuse the pun, on that?
They're not all failing. I think the problem is that because, and it's been very much in the news lately, but because of the problem of political interference in the form of cadre deployment, probably aggravated by black economic empowerment, so many of our SOEs are managed by people who just don't have the knowledge or the experience to manage what are very complex organizations. And the problem is that the cadre deployment issue runs through the entire system. So it's not as if people at sort of middle management level can necessarily make up for what's not happening at the top. I mean, passenger rail service, for example, has been in dire straits for years. I mean, it was dreadfully handled and mismanaged in the worst possible way. Mm-hmm. And the problem, of course, is that these are essentially very big businesses, and they have to be run like very big businesses. So it doesn't necessarily matter whether they are public or private. It just matters that they are run properly. I suppose the advantage of private is that the people who run a company are always on the hook for what happens, good or bad. Whereas in the public sector, things can go wrong, and if the government doesn't decide to hold people accountable, then things can continue to go wrong, and money is lost, and the debt owed by our SOEs is billions. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And so there are potential solutions. Some may be very much amenable to privatization. I would imagine, for example, Denel, which is essentially an arms manufacturer, could be very much a commercial entity. The Eskom is more difficult. It's a very complex operation because it involves generation, distribution, transmission, and distribution. And I think the general consensus is that trying to perform all three functions is more than a badly affected institution could take. It's overmanned. It doesn't have the skills it needs. It's now beset by theft and sabotage, and the list goes on. And the government, is, from a policy point of view, has mismanaged it for very many years. So, you know, they've talked for years about splitting off the generation element from the other two elements and bringing the private sector in. But that is being the red tape involved in getting that done, and having ministers who just don't see the necessary sense of urgency puts Eskom under huge, huge pressure. And the only, you know, the hope is you have to have private sector involvement just because the actual infrastructure of Eskom is so poor. I mean, it just really is. So that's why they're not being looked on very favorably as going concerns at the moment.
I mean, you talk about privatization, and is it on the cards? I mean, are SOEs, is government actually looking at privatization? I mean, is it something, do you think, that is going to happen?
You know, I think, for example, Telkom was essentially privatized, although it doesn't anecdotally seem to provide a great service anymore. With Eskom, it's been the case of bringing private suppliers onto the grid, particularly in the area of renewable energy. But, you know, privatization has been mentioned at odd times and has just never really taken root.
Yeah.
SAA is probably the first entity to be privatized in the sense that a private consortium has a controlling majority, a 51% share in the business. But the government retains for itself the right to make to dictate certain terms, and you know that could be very problematic in the running of the entity, if the entity actually is capable of getting off the ground at this stage. Because of course, what's happened with SAA is the private sector, in the absence of SAA, has to a large extent filled the gaps. And some have fallen by the wayside, mm-hmm. as we've seen happen with Comair.
Yeah.
But that's what the market does. And the airlines that operate well fill the gaps. And I'm not sure, for example, that SAA can come into that space now or not. We'll have to wait and see.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, our SOEs, they provide critical public goods and services and an essential part to our economy. And especially with Eskom, as you are mentioning now, and we've got conflicting objectives. We've got mismanagement, and added to that, we've got corruption. And as you said, they're operating at huge losses. There's so much money that's owed. How does this ship turn? I mean, what do you think can happen?
You know, let's put it this way: there are no quick fixes. It is beyond words that the people even thought of using the state energy supplier as a source of enrichment and state capture. It's actually boggles the mind. Mm. So there is no quick fix. And I actually do not believe that we will see the right amount of movement. Whatever movement we do see will actually depend on a post-ANC government. And I think there looks like a very good chance that 2024 will be just that time, where the governing party, the Party of Liberation, as tends to happen across the continent, loses power. But you need people who have their eye on the main prize, keep the costs down, and just try and, you know, do the best that they can. I mean, the Medupi and Kusile, for example, were supposed to fill the gaps left by a lot our aging plants. But there was, again, so much corruption and capture involved in that there are breakdowns and problems that should not exist if they're both stations, particularly Medupi, had been properly built in the first place. So it's like, I don't know, we shot ourselves in both feet. The government has shot us, rather, in both feet.
And
with regard to our energy.
No, absolutely. And I've just got a message in. From there's no name here. The news say earlier that Cyril's to address us on what's happening, read the power situation. And if so, I mean, how are we supposed to hear it? And I mean, that's the sad, reality of our situation.
Well, what I saw when in President Ramaphosa's comments to the hopefully to the end of the strike is that he expects power to be restored, or words to that effect. And the thing is, you know, I don't think if the man swung from the chandelier, it couldn't do what President Ramaphosa has asked. And I think that's partly a reflection of a sort of a failure to really acknowledge the reality of the state that we're in.
Absolutely. And Sorogon, policy fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, thank you for your insight. Thank you for making time for us and our listeners.